Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it!
With a tear in my eye!
The queen of the crop,
acknowledge me!
What's up, everybody? Episode 374 of Top Rope Nation. Ryan Droste, Justin Joint, Jesse Velasquez here to talk all the latest this Thursday night in the world of professional wrestling. We got WWE Elimination Chamber coming up this weekend in Toronto. We're going to give you our picks for that one. We got a lot of things happening in AEW as they prepare for Revolution a week from this weekend. Justin Joint, a lot of pro wrestling. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Ready for warmer weather because it has just been one fucking bug after another in the Joint household. I'm over it.
Justin and I are coming off injured reserve. We were both extremely sick last week, which is why we didn't do a show. You know, I was watching most of my pro wrestling heavily medicated. So hopefully that won't impact my takes tonight.
I got to say, it didn't really do much for you, Ryan, but it was quite the blessing that you were like 3 days ahead of me and you had the exact same thing as me. And so I was like finding out what to expect like 3 days from whenever, you know, whatever symptom I was experiencing.
I'm like, this is happening next. Then you're going to get this. You're going to sleep for 18 of the next 24 hours.
Yep. That happened.
Influenza A. Horrible
good
stuff.
Good times.
Yeah. Jesse, you staying healthy this week? How you doing?
Yes, I actually just woke up from one of the deepest naps I've ever had in a long time. Ooh. Probably like 45. To the point where I woke up and I thought that it was 45 minutes past when we started. Oh, I jumped up. I was like, what?
It's like you overslept for your other job.
Pretty much. I really had no idea. Yeah, my sleep's been a little bit in and out as usually is this time of year. But knock on wood, everything's pretty well here because we, for now, again, knock on wood twice, my son has kind of figured out how to stay healthy and what that looks like and what that means in his world. I think it's been 3 weeks now.
Man, you're lucky because every time I pick my youngest up at the daycare, dude, it is plastered with signs now. Influenza A, you know, we got COVID going around here. We got hand, foot, and mouth. Freaking head lice once in a while. I mean, just the absolute worst. Luckily, my kids have avoided that last one. But man, we're checking them close every time one of those signs are up. That's like the nightmare scenario.
I mean, ours have been one after another because, you know, I definitely got mine from my youngest and it was like the day of, you know, me and the wife's quote, whenever, you know, our kids are better. It's like, we got our kid back, you know, they're back to normal. It was like 6 hours later, I had a temp and then I was good for 2 days. And today my oldest got sent home from school with a temp. It's like, oh man,
the worst. Hey, look, we got in the chat. He stayed up late across the pond. John Hope. He's been messaging me that he might stay up for a live show. He's over in the UK. Look at this. Glad to see everyone back and well. Fantastic TRN Unplugged. I wholeheartedly agree. Yeah. Just another reason to be on the Patreon page. Jesse is repping his merch this week, too. He's got the Unplugged shirt on. Check that out. Available at topropenation.com. Yeah, even though we didn't do a flagship last week, Jesse did put out a TRN Unplugged this week, early this week, which was excellent as always. You guys can sign up for the Patreon page for a 7-day free trial, unlock all the bonus shows for free. So, you know, check it out. The link is here in the broadcast description. We did get a new patron since we were last on the air, so I want to throw a shout out to Joe Keebler. Appreciate your support, Joe, and hope you're enjoying all of the bonus content. I'm pretty sure I threw out the shout out to Zach Venero the last time we were on the air, but he also recently joined. So just in case, thank you, Zach, as well. And the list of our, I don't know what it is, 40 plus patrons, something like that, going across the bottom of the screen right now. Really, really, as always, appreciate your support. Next week for patrons, Top Rope Nation Classics. We're going to be going back in time to WWF In Your House 6 from February of 1996. We haven't done an, I feel like it's been a while since we've done a 1996 show. So that'll be a lot of fun. If you're not aware, that's the show that Shawn Michaels and Owen Hart. It's got Brett and Diesel in the steel cage match at the end. It's the month before WrestleMania 12. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Our patrons kick as much ass as Justin's sign right there in the lower left corner.
You like that?
His name tag tonight? Yes. Good stuff. Good stuff. And of course, you know, if you want to support us other ways, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the like button while you're here. I would appreciate that. You can follow us on all the socials. We got a TikTok page, Instagram, Blue Sky, the Facebook group, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Leave us that 5-star review. All right, guys, this is going to be a pretty tight show tonight because, you know, we've got this pay-per-view this weekend. We're going to review that for you on Sunday morning like we often do. So if you're in the UK, you won't have to stay up late for that one. We'll be on the air afternoon time across the pond on Sunday reviewing that like we usually do. And then we got classics next week. So we got a busy week coming up. So we're going to keep this one tight. We get a lot of good discussion in this weekend, Saturday night, Elimination Chamber, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We've got a 4-match card from the WWE. Jesse, I know you watch a little more WWE than Justin these days. What's your anticipation level for Elimination Chamber Toronto?
Higher than most Elimination Chambers. Maybe one since it was here in my hometown in 2014.
Ah, yeah.
And it's not necessarily even just for the chamber matches themselves. I'd say more so the men than the women. The women's a little anticlimactic to me, but we get Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Mm-hmm. Unsanctioned. Mm-hmm. That's going to be one hell of a match. So I would say 7.5 out of 10 is a number for me right now.
All right. Justin, if I ask you your anticipation level, are you going to respond by reading your name tag?
Actually, I was going to make fart noises into my elbow, but I am an adult and I am not going to do that. That was my plan all day, but yeah, zero anticipation.
It's not like I feel the Elimination Chamber matches. All right. For each one, maybe two possible winners. I wouldn't say it's wide open. There's some intrigue, though. I'm intrigued on which way they go with Sammy and Kevin. One match that I have zero intrigue about is Tiffany Stratton and Trish Stratus taking on Nia Jax and Candice LeRae. Predicting this one, I mean, I'll just lay it right out there. There is absolutely no chance you beat A, Tiffany Stratton, 1 month before she wrestles Charlotte Flair, approximately 1 month, I guess a little bit longer than that, but right before she wrestles Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. You're not going to beat her. And certainly you're not going to beat a returning Trish Stratus in Toronto. They're not laying down for Nia Jax and Candice LeRae. I mean, this is the lock of the night. These two, Trish and Tiffany Stratton, are going over, and I have no deep thoughts on this one, Jesse.
I'm with you. Absolutely none, because Candice LeRae has been non-existent for the last how many years? She was the forgotten member of the Survivor Series War Games team. And like you mentioned, Tiffany just got this championship about to lead into WrestleMania, and they're just throwing Trish Stratus in her home country together with her. More so, this is just going to be to appease the crowd that's in attendance, I would say. They'd much rather watch Trish, I think, these days than the other three.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good call. I'm going to go Nia Jax and Candice LeRae because I don't care.
Unbelievable. Also, by the way, as I take a sip of my zombie dust here, I didn't do what's in the glass, Justin. Do you have anything in the glass tonight?
I'm still taking cold medicine at night to try and get me through it. So just a little Waterloo black cherry sparkling water. Better than LaCroix, I will say, the Waterloo version.
All right. Jesse, you?
Going Tom Holland's NA beer again. I think it's called Barrow.
Tom Holland's?
Like yeah.
Spider-Man?
That is correct.
He has his own NA beer?
Yep. Just came out with it last year.
Huh. I did not know that.
It's a really cool story still, behind it.
John, if you are still awake over in the chat, what are you sipping on over in the UK to stay awake at after 2 o'clock a.m.? I'm curious, John Hope. Let us know what you're drinking. okay, so yeah, that one, not a lot of intrigue, I don't think. Now, Sammy and Kevin Owens, unsanctioned, a little bit more intrigue because I feel both of these guys could use the win. I think some of this is going to come down to what's the plan for WrestleMania. You know, are you going to get a returning Randy Orton? There's been the rumors of Orton and KO possibly wrestling at WrestleMania. Or do you run this match back at WrestleMania and have Sammy and Kevin out there? So I'll give my thoughts. I'll throw it to Jesse first, and then we go over to Justin, and then bring it back to me. Jesse, your thoughts.
Oh, they should run this back at WrestleMania. I mean, it's been a couple of years since these guys have gone one-on-one. So, and it's always a magical spectacle, almost rhyme there, when these two get together. They've just had a tremendous chemistry for the last, I don't know how many years that they've been doing this, 2 decades as friends and foes. So chemistry, zero question here. In their home country too, I will go Kevin Owens for this exercise purpose. And not fully confident in it. Kind of have a very side hope. I know it's probably like 2%. He said Sami Zayn has not re-signed his contract yet for World Wrestling Entertainment. I'm hoping that he goes to the other side just for refreshing purposes, because he's done almost everything that he needs to have done in World Wrestling Entertainment outside of winning a title from a heavyweight championship perspective. And I don't really see that coming down the pipeline if he were to re-sign.
Yeah. I think he even said that like he feels he has a lot more to accomplish in WWE. I'm going to go with a congrats on your new contract, Kevin Owens loss. So I'll go with Sami Zayn. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, Sammy did some media. I think it was this week. And he kind of alluded to he doesn't even know if he's going to be working at WrestleMania. So this could be his WrestleMania. I hope that's not the case. I hope Sami Zayn wrestles at WrestleMania. He's one of the best performers in the company. But
That sounds like a bad John Cena to WrestleMania build there comment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the problem is the way this WrestleMania card is shaping up. If you do Kevin Owens and Orton, which I've read multiple places and heard that that's the plan, I just don't know where you slot him in, you know? So I'm actually going to go Owens, because I feel if Owens is going to work Orton at Mania, then he needs a win here. And I'm going to also predict that Randy Orton makes his return on the show. I'll get even more detailed. I think that Owens wins, and then he continues beating down Sami Zayn after the match, and then Orton runs out to make the save. You could do it the other way, too. You could have Orton come out and cost KO the match, and Sami wins, and then that's how they get to the feud. But I personally think I would probably have Owens get a win if that's the direction they're going. But, I mean, really, this could go either way.
Yeah, both these guys are stuck, I think, in just the high end of the mid card and aren't going anywhere. So a win or a loss for either really isn't going to hurt them or help them.
Our guy John in the chat, KO and Sammy will be the best on the card. I agree. This will probably be match of the night.
Agreed.
And John just sipping on some coffee. He's still recovering from his surgery, which makes sense. So, yes. Let's see what else. Let's go women's elimination chamber first. All right. So, the women's elimination chamber match for a women's world title match at WrestleMania 41, Liv Morgan. So they'll be taking on Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Naomi, and Roxanne Perez is the card for this one. You know, looking at this, there's some people you can cross out right away, right? Like, I mean, we really like Roxanne Perez. We think she's a face of the future. It's just too early. They're not going to do that match right now. And you look at the rest of the card. All right. So you potentially could do Liv Morgan, but they've done that match now multiple times. You know, that's been the big feud for the last year with Rhea and Liv. Bliss just came back. She's on SmackDown. Doesn't make a lot of sense. Bayley, I don't think is getting in there. So, I mean, I think it's probably Bianca Belair. I mean, that's the big money match, which it's pretty amazing given the lack of depth sometimes in the women's division in WWE that Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair have only wrestled twice in singles matches and both were in NXT. One was at a takeover. The other one was on a weekly television. I believe they were supposed to work Money in the Bank, I want to say 2022, but Ripley got injured and they canceled the match. So they have never had a main roster singles match. And so, I mean, this, I think for WrestleMania, that's the biggest match they could do out of these people here. I think it's a protected match, makes a lot of sense. I will be interested if that is the direction, how this works from a heel babyface perspective, because I don't think anybody is going to get cheered over Rhea Ripley right now. We've talked about this before in the podcast. Bianca Belair has been a tremendous heel in the past. So do they just let it be face versus face, or, you know, do they turn Bianca going into this match? What do you think, Justin?
Well, that was going to be my question is, help me out, guys. What is the babyface heel dynamics with Charlotte and Tiffany Stratton? Is that, as of right now, kind of a babyface, or is it at least is that what WWE wants the reaction for both superstars to be, is a positive one?
Nah, I mean, Charlotte's been leaning into the heel stuff.
Okay.
They're moving forward. I think they understand that Tiffany is going to get cheered in that one.
I was just going to say, where I just lost my train of thought. Oh, and that's probably the vehicle as to why Trish is teaming with Tiffany Stratton to maybe help get her over more as a babyface.
Yeah,
so kind of leaning into that dynamic as well. I have to give humongous credit to Bianca, Naomi, Liv Morgan, and Raquel Rodriguez for a tremendous main event on Monday Night Raw for the Tag Team Championships the other night.
Yeah. You called that on Unplugged before the show, too. There would be the title change. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't anticipate the match being that good.
Yeah.
Crowd was really into the last 5 minutes or so, and there was just, really good back and forth, fluid chemistry. Everything made sense. It's also going to make even more sense moving forward because you want Liv away from the world title picture. She's held it forever. A match with Rhea just doesn't do anything for anyone.
Yeah.
On the other side of things, though, you have Bianca, who I wish there was a little more build. There's going to be 2.5 months now for them to be able to tell a good story between her and Rhea, because that's a giant money match. Mm-hmm. And I think we've all been clamoring for this WrestleMania with a little more steam behind it. I think it just makes the most sense for Bianca to win here. And they're really, I don't think there's a dark horse I could really point to that would take this outside of her.
No, not at all. I mean, and I guess the intrigue for me then, like I was saying with the heel face dynamic, is if they do turn Bianca heel, you know, do they use the Jade Cargill situation to turn her? Because Jade is cleared. Apparently she's coming back soon. That's one way you could turn Bianca, is like Bianca was behind the attack. You know, she turned on her own partner. And then, you know, you could do Jade and Naomi maybe taking on Liv and Raquel at Mania or something like that. I don't know what they would do, but that would be one way to turn Bianca. I just think that's fascinating to me because, you know, once in a while they'll do the big babyface versus babyface match. But I mean, Ripley is so over. I just can't imagine Bianca getting cheered in that match. So like, do they just let that hang there, or, you know, do they go full on heel? Be really interesting to see.
I think they might tap into that. And when's the last time Bianca was a heel? It's been years.
Mm-hmm. She was asked about that in an interview this week too. I'm paraphrasing, but she said something along the lines of, you know, if she started to turn, you would know she's a heel. She's not going to like half-ass it. She'll go full bore heel turn if they go that direction. So yeah,
be really cool.
We shall see. Yeah, we shall see. So, hey, that leaves us with just the men's elimination chamber match. Also, you know, The Rock is Cody Rhodes going to take his offer and come to his dark side and sell his soul to The Rock? You know, we'll find out maybe on this show. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But here's the card for the men's elimination chamber match. And then we'll get into all that. John Cena, CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, Logan Paul, Damian Priest, and Seth Rollins for the undisputed WWE title shot at WrestleMania 41 against Cody Rhodes. Jesse, your thoughts on this one?
I think it's down to the two elder statesmen when it comes to their time in the world of pro wrestling, and that's John Cena and CM Punk. And then the question is, where do you go? Does Cena continue his Cinderella story? Do they tap into this whole Cody maybe being his soul being taken and him turning into the corporate champion when Justin's already made a valid point? I'll let him get into that later. Or does CM Punk become a heel, which we've all, I think, been wanting for a long time? He'll be taking on Cody at WrestleMania. I would prefer Punk in this situation. I will go CM Punk, but I don't have the full confidence in it. I have a weird feeling Cena might be the one to take this down, and he gets his last hurrah in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Justin?
I mean, it seems like trying to read the tea leaves and what they've been teasing, which I do think they are just teases, but you would think maybe Drew and Damian kind of cancel each other out. They've been teasing Punk and Paul, which that almost makes me wonder if they kind of cancel each other out. One of the rumors is maybe Seth versus Roman for WrestleMania. So I wonder if that eliminates him, leaving John Cena going for the record breaking championship against Mr. Corporate Champion himself, three-piece suit wearing, red, white, and blue, bringing out Bruce Pritchard and executive producer and figurehead Paul Levesque at the end of WrestleMania 40, Cody Rhodes himself. So that's where I lean. I think the most interesting outcome, kind of to what your guys are hinting at, would be CM Punk. Because although I do kind of wish, just for hilarity's sake, seeing him not get his main event and being on the undercard with Logan Paul would be quite funny.
Agreed.
I got to say, I'm not fully there yet. I can be bought, though. CM Punk wearing the CTU shirt on Raw was pretty cool. I did appreciate him wearing the Chicago Teachers Union shirt. I'll give him that. We've been hard on Phil since his return to WWE, but that was pretty cool. As far as the winner in the match goes, it's going to be Punk or Cena. I have much the same thoughts that you guys have. I think Punk winning and Punk becoming the object of Dwayne Johnson's desires and selling his soul to Rock to get the WrestleMania title shot is the most interesting thing they can do with the heel CM Punk. You know, that's another match that they've teased with Punk and Cody had an awesome segment on Raw several weeks ago where they teased that might be in the cards. As you said, Justin, they've also teased Logan and Punk as recently as this Monday night. So I could really see it going either way. To me, my head tells me it's going to be Cena. It's his last WrestleMania. It's a world title match. But then I think about Paul Levesque at the Royal Rumble press scrum, where he made the comment that nobody knows where they're going for WrestleMania. He's read all the reports and nobody knows where they're going. So I got that echoing in my head. And Cena versus Cody just feels too obvious, doesn't it? Like that's the obvious match. I don't know how interesting that match really is. I mean, sure, you could do John Cena being the object of Dwayne Johnson's desires and John Cena sells his soul to get that last shot at the title. You know, he's been very adamant that he's going to get that WrestleMania match. You know, it's his last time around and maybe he takes that path. But then, you know, all those years where John Cena never turned heel, does he actually do it here? And if he doesn't, is the babyface Cena Rhodes match really that interesting? I don't find it that appealing, really, as a wrestling fan. I know it's an all-time legend against the face of the company and everything. But to me, it's not like Hogan Rock. You know, it doesn't have that kind of a legend versus man of today feel. And then I think about CM Punk, and I think about him actually doing the heel thing, and I think back to that phenomenal segment that they had on Monday Night Raw. And you know, they could lean into the whole punk rock history about how, you know, rock cost punk that WrestleMania title match years ago when he thought he was going to main event and then Rock came back, but now Rock's, you know, paying him back and he's going to get him into that main event. You know, I could see all of that happening. And I just think as a wrestling fan, that is way more enticing. I would like to see that. So even though my head might tell me John Cena, I'm going to pick CM Punk and I'm going to say Punk Cody. Punk gets his WrestleMania main event. There's some involvement with The Rock as we build up to it.
The one thing I just can't get over is there seems to be a lot of options for matches. Like, once again, going back to what they've been kind of teasing on television. And I don't know what else you would do with Cena at WrestleMania. It would seem kind of like a waste not to put him in a big main event kind of match. And what else would there be for him to do at WrestleMania if he's, what's that?
I'd say my only thought is Logan Paul. I could see him working Jesus. Logan Paul just because that's like big time social media star. John Cena is a huge, like, I could see them thinking that would work.
Especially with the way that, I mean, Logan Paul, it'd be nice if he would commit to being as close to a full-time wrestler as possible. Mm-hmm. I think then you could really push that vehicle as well. He has a sliver of hope, I think, to win this too. I'd put it at like 3-4%. Ooh. I know, I'm with you, Justin, but you could also push the whole, he becomes Rock's eye of, or the kind of the apple of his eye, and you can push mm-hmm. him in a corporation perspective and let him be Rock's soul-taking champion or something along those lines.
Well, he fits in that system.
Thoughts, I mean, exactly.
Yeah, there was the tease of him and Gunther for a while. Like, they even did a segment on Raw where he teased like he could, this was like months ago, that he could be coming after the world title. So that was one I could actually see happening before the whole Jey Uso thing. But yeah, I could see him booking it. I'm not going to pick that, but I could see where they could make the argument.
Yeah. Small sliver of hope too, I think, for Seth Rollins as well, in spite of his like oh for the century record against Cody Rhodes. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a possibility he could lean down that route. You play into the story, which I think he and Cody went back and forth on, is how Rollins has already done this before. He's been a corporate champion and a turning against the Shield. That was obviously brought up back then too. So yeah, there's just that middle tier with about a 4-5% chance. Then you got your favorites, your Punks and your Cenas. And that's why there's a little bit of intrigue here.
Yeah. So I'll go Punk. Let's see, Justin, you said Cena. And then are you Cena, Jesse?
I went Punk as well.
Or you're Punk. Okay.
Not fully confident though.
Yeah. So hey, look, there's intrigue. So I'm interested to watch it and see. It's not, there's been several Elimination Chambers where they're extremely predictable going in. And this one, not real. I mean, again, we're only saying like two guys really have a big shot of it, but still I could see it going either way. So that makes it pretty interesting.
Especially with the odds that Jey Uso had going into the Royal Rumble too. They were pretty low and he ended up winning mm-hmm. the whole thing.
Yep. So there could be some twists. We shall see. So that's Elimination Chamber. We'll be reviewing the show after the fact. So stay tuned for that. I will be live on the BR app Saturday night during the main event. So if you want to join me there, get the Bleacher Report app, tune in. It'll be in the WWE section. You can watch along.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's shift it to AEW. And a lot of things happening here with Revolution a week from this Sunday in Los Angeles. I thought very good television the last few weeks over there as well. I think right away, Justin, we got to start by talking about Ricochet and Swerve Strickland, since you got the Ricochet name tag tonight. I think Ricochet is doing the best work of his nationally televised mm-hmm. career. I mean, unless you count Lucha Underground, I guess, early on. But as far as like his WWE AEW time, I have really liked watching Ricochet grow into this heel role, develop more of a personality. He's always been a guy who can go in the ring. And Justin, he gets reactions from the live crowd, does he not?
That's what I'm seeing on my television, is they want to boo this guy. He's shockingly good at this heel role. And not only just this heel role as a character, but in the ring too, with the way he beats Swerve kind of in a lucky underhanded fashion. And he did that against Darby to get the draw. He was underhanded in his win against Will Ospreay in the C2 also. So it's stunning when you think about the guy that we were watching kind of floundering as just the flippy guy in WWE being able to pull this character out of his butt. And he's been a pretty good, you know, rival for Swerve while we've been kind of waiting to see what is the next chapter going to be. And now here we are staring down a, in my opinion, pretty unexpected number one contenders match at Revolution. And I'm scratching my head because that actually makes me even more uncertain as to which one is going to win. The assumption is, and the hope would be, Swerve getting his win back. But, you know, all of us, the big question when it comes to AEW is who's going to take the title off of Mox? I hope I don't, you know, speak too much for you guys, but I want to say that we've been kind of really banging the drum for either Hangman or Ospreay as the next guy. Storyline wise, Darby makes a lot of sense, but you know, actually just today I was looking at what the window is going to be for summiting Mount Everest this year, and it's looking like it's going to be mid-May. Well, Double or Nothing isn't till like a week after that. So God, it's going to be kind of lucky for him to even get back in time to build a story for All In to take the title off of Moxley. So hopefully it happens sooner than then, but do they go with Swerve maybe sooner rather than later, considering that, you know, he made himself a top guy during his championship reign. And in my opinion, and if you're watching television, the way the crowd treats him, he has still got that top guy aura. You know, he's got that charisma, and he knows how to handle himself in such a way that you can't help but feel like he's a top guy. So there's a lot of intrigue there. And I'm honestly, I have not really talked to anybody else about this. I haven't looked online. What do you guys think? Who do you want to see win this?
My mouth dropped when they made an official number one contenders match for a few reasons. Number one, we've been talking about how both companies should declare a number one contenders match on a big show for a championship. That just got brought to light. Monday, I questioned Swerve Strickland and where is he? Has he been kind of taking a couple of steps back? I'm a little concerned. Is he going to get thrown to the forefront? Then this happens out of absolute nowhere. We had maybe been thinking MJF and Hangman would be the ones in this spot for the number one contendership. And now we get this. I'm still shocked. I would absolutely love for Swerve to defeat Ricochet and be the one to take this off of Moxley. He got defeated by Moxley in the C2 back in November. Mm-hmm. So you can play that up for a good month.
Of the first C2, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Continental Classic 2023. And that's not where his ascension started, but it's right around that time. So yeah, excitement level is super high for this whole card. But Ricochet, yeah, he's definitely been doing the best work of his entire career. His promos have been slightly better than passable. I feel like he has improved enough to where this whole thing is believable.
Hmm. Yeah, I texted you guys about this and I said I would still prefer MJF and Hangman Page be the number one contenders match. Mm-hmm. I just feel from not just a star perspective all around, but it's like clearly the feud that has the most steam in the promotion right now, that to me that would have made a lot more sense. That said, to Jesse's point, we've been talking about this for a long time. Put a number one contenders match on a pay-per-view, makes it a big deal, and they're actually doing it.
AEW, Top Rope Nation listeners confirmed. I don't know. But I'm glad that they're doing it. I was very surprised it was for this match. I don't hate it, as I texted you. So with that said, man, I'm going to, if Ricochet wins this match, I'm going to be real nervous that Adam Copeland's winning the title in the main event. Like, I will be very nervous if that happens earlier in the show. Now, if Swerve wins, he might be the dude to take it off of Moxley. You know, again, huge Swerve fan, want to see him get the world title back. I think Hangman Page is the call right now, but you know, if they're going to tie him up in an MJF feud for months, and if that's the way they're going with this, then it makes sense. I personally would have gone number one contender match there, had him win it, have him dethrone Moxley, and then revisit the MJF feud down the line. But that doesn't appear to be the way they're going. So, right now, I mean, we'll have to see how TV plays out next week. Right now, I would probably go with Swerve, and I would not be stunned if he's the guy to dethrone Moxley. I do think that Moxley's done the last few weeks a lot better as world champion. I think they've done a good job building to the Copeland match, even though I'm still not personally feeling it that much. I think given what they're working with, I think they've done about as good a job as possible, but it's still clear MJF and Hangman is the real main event. That is the main event program going on in this promotion right now. So it's kind of the thing that's just still kind of hanging there is the world title and what's that direction going to be. Still think you got to move on to somebody, you know, by dynasty maybe. We'll see what happens. But I mean, this show is looking really good. I mean, you look at it top to bottom right now, you got Ospreay and Fletcher in a steel cage, MJF and Hangman. We've got Tony and Mariah running it back. Takeshita and Omega. Holy shit, how could you complain about that? Again, Mox and Cope, they built it up as best they can. They got Mercedes and Watanabe for the TBS title. This is big time stuff. I mean, this is a great card top to bottom.
Well, and you know, and if it wasn't enough that Swerve and Ricochet have been feuding for months now, they add the extra juice of the number one contendership, but also they teased a possible, you know, Prince Nana leaving Swerve if he's not able to get his Jimmy Rave robe back. So, you know, that just one more little enticing detail that kind of makes you question where this thing is going to go.
Yeah. This might be this is the segment where I offer an apology to Ryan Drosty as well.
Oh.
Since All In of 2024, Hangman Page's win-loss record is 10-2. He's only lost to Jay White. Maybe there is some merit for him to be this next guy. I think it's quite possible. I actually had to dig up all four of the win-loss records since All In, since Swerve lost that title. He's batting 500. He's only 3-3. We had talked about this in the group with Lashley and Ricochet being two of those losses, and then Hangman, of course. MJF's undefeated with a sterling 5-0 record. His typical doesn't really work much, and a lot of his stuff is just with his mouth. Ricochet's been the most active of the group, having gone 14-4. And he's wrestled almost everybody. And he's defeated Ospreay and Swerve. So there is some definite merit to him being in a number one contendership title situation, especially when some of the guys that have beaten him already are tied up, like a Takeshita as well, too, with being the international champion. So, yeah, it's a pretty bright future for that world title.
Real quick, Justin, but I was going to say about Jay White. I mean, the only – for all the people, again, that want to bullshit and say this company doesn't book long term, I would argue the whole reason Hangman lost the matches to Jay White is they were setting up for Jay White to be part of a main event storyline because you really couldn't buy him in that storyline alongside Copeland without those wins. Like, they elevated his stature in the company, and that made sense.
Which, that's a really curious thing as to what is going on there with Jay White. I'm almost expecting some sort of swerve. Like, does he join the Death Riders or something at Revolution, maybe costing Cope? That would be pretty sweet in my opinion, because otherwise he's got really nothing to do playing second fiddle here to Adam Copeland. One more thing on the whole swerve thing, especially when I'm thinking about him being the challenger to Mox, you know, Mox's whole thing is he is, you know, he wants to make an army of Moxes. He wants the people who have, you know, made something for themselves. And I don't think there's any truer example of that than Swerve, you know, getting fired from the big company, you know, coming over to AEW, basically being a tag team guy and making himself into a true blue superstar top guy. You know, Ospreay made his name for himself, became a top guy over in Japan. Hangman kind of has that same argument along with Swerve, where, you know, he made himself here in AEW. So I don't know, man, there's some interesting directions they can go here.
MJF painted Hangman as the golden boy from day one,
yeah.
Which the company, like the behind, like the elite more or less have been the ones pushing the vehicle to get him to where he is. Swerve's promo was tremendous last night when he looked at Tony Schiavone. He says, "You interviewed me 3 years ago and I said I was going to take that world title at some point in time, and I did it. And I made Black history." I mean, obviously this being the month of February, there hasn't been much mention of that in either company. I just like to throw that one out there. So yeah, no, it's a super exciting time for there to be some uncertainty, I think, in both promotions of like where things are going. And that just makes things so exciting as a wrestling fan.
Absolutely. Sorry, we're kind of jumping all over here, folks, but talking about MJF, freaking loved that opening with him getting his AEW tattoo removed from the back of his ankle.
That was great. That was really good. Yeah. No, I thought it was an awesome show Wednesday night. I think they're on a hell of a run with TV lately.
For anybody who hasn't seen it, like I know I agree with everybody who is kind of ho-humming about the Orange Cassidy Takeshita pairing, because it was just kind of like, all right, we know where this is going. It's going to be Omega Takeshita. What are we doing here? That match freaking ruled. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. Few people are as naturally fluid inside of a ring as Orange Cassidy is. I have a question, because, you know, one of the reasons I think AEW is on a bit of a hot streak when it comes to their television specifically is both Dynamite and Collision feel like A shows right now, and we've got a TNT championship match coming up. Do you guys think Adam Cole actually has a shot here of taking it off of Daniel Garcia? Because Daniel Garcia's TNT championship run has been the epitome of ho-hum.
I mean, I had that thought when they announced it, because,
yeah,
you know, for all the people negative on Cole, and we certainly have been at different times, he's missed a lot of time. When he jumped over, it was a huge deal when he jumped. And I could see them thinking that they want to, I don't know what the right word for it, not legitimize, but like giving him a chance to have some gold. And like, you're right. They haven't done really anything with Garcia's run. It's been very ho-hum. So I could see him pivoting off of that for sure.
You know,
because Adam Cole, like, he just comes up short all the time.
Yeah. So,
Yeah.
He lost to Hangman for the world title at Revolution 22. Obviously, he lost to MJF at the first All In London. I think this is the opportunity, as much as I do kind of prefer, just because of his stature and style of wrestling, I kind of prefer babyface Adam Cole. I think we could maybe see a heel turn heel here. Teased a little bit in that six-man match with FTR and Strong in KOR. I think that could be where we're headed, and that could be a way to spice things up. Cause I think something us fans, you know, forget is I've brought this up on previous shows, is these promoters, you know, TK, he wants to get the most bang for his buck. I'm sure Adam Cole makes a, you know, pretty penny, and, you know, good way to utilize him, keep him relevant on TV. Give him the TNT championship, make him make something of it, because that championship has felt pretty irrelevant since Cope first got injured.
Off topic real fast. Ryan Huffman safe delivery this weekend.
Yeah. I was going to call that out too. Ryan saying in the chat, Ryan Huffman catch the chamber from the hospital because his wife is about to give birth. Papa Huffman soon to be. And he said he's going to be packing his new TRN sweatshirt. Yeah, things comfy. Yes, indeed. Huffman sent me a picture today. He's got the new crew neck with the Stitch TRN logo up on the chest, and that thing looks pretty sweet. Appreciate
it. Are you gonna name that kid whoever wins the Elimination Chamber?
Well, he's got a baby girl on the way, so
yeah, there's ways.
Bianca, that. Bianca Huffman.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Can't be Chick Magnet Huffman anymore.
And John Hope saying, yeah, they should give it to Cole. Garcia hasn't really been interesting. I agree.
Like Justin, I think you nailed this. This is very sports term-esque when you give somebody a huge contract and a lot of money, you want them to go out and prove it. I think, yeah, this would be a good time to do so, as much as I really don't like Adam Cole that much. But you look at the name value then, post-Revolution, suppose you throw Adam Cole in as your TNT champion. I'm going to predict that Kenny Omega is going to be your AEW International champion. Kazuchika Okada is going to be your Continental champion. And I will cross my fingers and hope that Jon Moxley is your AEW World champion after Revolution. That is a massive boon for that company with those four names carrying those championships. You can legitimize all four across the board for a while.
The big question is, it feels like the one person who might be kind of left out in the wind after Revolution is, what are we going to do with Ospreay? You know, if he's not the man who's going to be taking the title off of Moxley, what's he going to be up to, assuming, you know, he gets his one last big win against Fletcher? Which, you know, that could be a big assumption, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the tons of unknowns. There's so many. It's unbelievable, because then there's another stone where Copeland wins. Ugh. Maybe Christian takes it from him.
I mean, I guess if that leads to Ospreay, fine.
Mm-hmm. Or Swerve.
Or Swerve, yeah. Yep.
Swerve's already defeated Christian once on a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that would not be an optimal direction, but we'll be here to talk about it if it does happen. So, hey, you know, one positive that I really liked on Dynamite, another positive was Harley Cameron picking up the win on Deonna Purrazzo. Yeah. I'm glad that, you know, despite her coming up short against Mercedes, they gave her a strong win over, you know, a woman with a high profile in Deonna Purrazzo. I was happy to see that. I was happy they're not just letting her fall back down the card, because she still has a lot of momentum, and I think they should go forward with that. So I was happy to see that booking.
Yep. Just give her a bunch of big TV wins for the next few months, and she'll be ready for that spotlight in no time.
Yeah.
Yep.
I did see John Hope had called out in the chat, will Speedball Mike Bailey debut at Revolution? We'll have to see. I actually don't know the specifics of his contract and him coming in and when that will begin and everything, but if possible, I wouldn't be surprised. They like to debut guys on pay-per-views.
Go ahead, Justin.
Nope, you go ahead.
They've been doing a lot of the Face of the Revolution stuff over the last few years and throwing a multi-man match together with a surprise entrant. I think it could be him. Yeah, I think that'd be a decent way to at least debut him. And then I might take this from you, Justin, though. I think we're going to push the Konosuke Takeshita to New Japan vibe and let him just rule that promotion for a while after he loses to Omega in about a week and a half.
Absolutely. The rest of his 2025 should be focused on becoming the ace of New Japan. Speedball's an interesting one. You know, I've seen a handful of his matches on the indies, but he's kind of like Ospreay in a way to me, where like I'm aware of how good he is, but I'm fascinated to see how he translates on national television and what kind of character he can bring to things. Because, like, honestly, my expectations are pretty low for him. You know, I just kind of see him as a mid-carder, considering where, you know, how the top of AEW is looking right now, for the foreseeable future, for that matter. So I'm very intrigued to see how Speedball debuts, what his character looks like, and what the rest of his 2025 is going to look like.
He's a guy who's got some history with Ospreay. So there's another option too. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to look forward to in this pro wrestling industry right now. You guys, this is a great time to have a pro wrestling podcast. Let me just say, there's no shortage of things to talk about whatsoever. Any other topics you guys wanted to hit tonight before we wrap? I mean, I said it was going to be a pretty tight show. We're gonna have the review of Elimination Chamber coming up in just a couple of days. We got classics on the horizon, but I'll open the floor. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
I can't believe I'm going to do this. I seriously cannot believe I'm going to do this. Chris Jericho actually had a solid match against Bandido. On Collision. That was his best match in a long time.
Hey, I mean, the character work out of him too, and being a little bit more serious, and people need to put respect on his name and stuff. That's way more interesting than some of the other dog shit they've had in the last several months. So, yeah, I'll give him credit. Absolutely.
Couldn't believe it. Kudos to Brian Keith last night. Yeah. I also feel as well. Nice little back and forth with Mr. Ospreay, which, I mean, who doesn't have a good match with Will Ospreay these days? But at least Brian Keith was allowed to do a little bit more, you think, in this scenario. So, yeah, congrats in that aspect. There was somebody else that wrestled last night. I was like, I haven't seen this from you in a while, and I can't remember who it was.
I was stunned by the Outrunners winning. Not that's who you were thinking of, but... Man, I was really expecting the Murder Machines to be the Hurt Syndicate's next opponent, but it'll be interesting to see if this Hurt Syndicate and Outrunners thing is going to be for Revolution or one of these Dynamite or Collision shows. I just do not see, nor do I think they should be taking the titles off of Hurt Syndicate.
Yeah, I mean, Hurt Syndicate still, you know, cost them the match, so I think they're... Yeah. They're leaning into there at the distraction eventually. But yeah, I was still surprised for sure.
When do the Young Bucks come back?
I've heard nothing on that. You know, we all thought, you know, months in advance, we talked about on the pod, there was that thought that them and Kenny were going to do something with the Death Riders, and did not come to pass.
Good. I mean, when they come back, they have to feud with Kenny. Because of the way they took him out a while ago.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Ryan mentioned in the chat, Mr. Huffman, Papa Huffman on the horizon, that he was at Speedball versus Ospreay at TNA a couple of years ago in Chicago. So damn good. Yeah. That was a great match. Yeah. I don't really have any other big talking points tonight, you guys. I knew this would be a fun, pretty easy show. Get those picks in, talk a little AEW. That's all I got. Unless the chat has any questions for us, I think we're going to call it a night because we're going to be back on the air in just a couple of days. I know Jesse and I are for sure on that. Justin, pending. We'll see what things, what happens around the household with the child sickness and all of that. But yeah, we'll be talking Elimination Chamber this weekend. So stay tuned with that. I say this every week, you guys, recommend the show to at least one friend. Help us expand our reach in the wrestling community. Justin, go ahead.
Can I ask you guys one non-wrestling related question?
Oh, okay.
What's your favorite Gene Hackman movie?
Ooh.
We lost the legend today, so yeah. Figured if I was ever going to ask a movie question regarding Gene Hackman, now's my chance.
So it was today that it happened. Okay. I was stunned when I first saw it. For me, it's super easy because I'm a sports movie buff. It's Hoosiers.
Yeah, I mean, that's the go-to, probably. Let me pull up his IMDb, though, just to refresh.
He's got a lot.
Yeah.
I actually just recently watched the first Superman with my kid, which he's pretty fantastic. And my answer, I would have to go Unforgiven. It's crazy how kind of terrifying he is in that movie.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the original Supermans with Christopher Reeve. He is really good in those. Mm-hmm. I would probably go Superman as number two after Hoosiers. But man, yeah, I mean, what a just a hell of an actor. This is, I mean,
it's crazy if you look at his filmography.
Oh, I almost feel bad for saying Hoosiers because it's probably like his 10th best movie. And it was really good.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, that's one of his most iconic roles for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
My God, yeah, Mississippi Burning,
ooh.
Bonnie and Clyde.
A big hole in my movie watching is I still have never seen The French Connection. I've got to see that one.
I've never seen it either. I know of its reputation. I mean, I know of the movie and have for a long time, just never sat down and watched it. So. Yeah, Unforgiven. That's a great choice. Yeah, I'll go Hoosiers, but then I'll go Superman number two. Post number two, just because I love the Superman movies. But
R.I.P. to the legend.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask Ryan that as well, Huffman. I say, hey, you should bring your podcast equipment, your AirPods. You can do the podcast bedside next to your child.
Ryan Huffman Skyping in from the hospital room. The dedication of this man to once again do our pay-per-view review with us. No. Oh, man. All right. Hey, you guys, it's been a lot of fun. John, we appreciate you staying up so you can join us live.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate everyone. Sleep, buddy. Everyone tuning in live. Of course, this happens every time. Now our numbers are jumping up a little bit as we're about to wrap the show. Those of you tuning in right now, rewind. Watch the whole show. It was a lot of fun. You'll get our Elimination Chamber picks in the first half of the show. Leave us that thumbs up here on YouTube or on the podcast feed if that's where you are. Join the Facebook group, Top Rope Nation Pro Wrestling Discussion. You can find out more about the show at TopRopeNation.com. That's where we can find all the merch and our bios and all of that good stuff. And yeah, that's pretty much all I got. I'm about out of the zombie dust here. It's been going down pretty nice. So I'm going to wrap up my Thursday night. Tasty.
Sounds like I'm about 3 days away from a beer.
There you go. 3 days, Justin. I'll be leaving a zombie dust on your front porch.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right, guys. Hey, this has been episode 374 of Top Rope Nation. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you here again in a couple of days. Take care. Enjoy Elimination Chamber.
Reese and McDonald's tienen la clave para un post-game meal de campeones. Una QPC con salsa barbecue y tocino, papitas y un refresco. Los pros le llaman el Angel Reese Special. Llévate el Angel Reese Special solo en McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.